Welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Happy and blessed Easter to you all. This is a very exciting time, and we never thought we would be in this lockdown for two Easters in a row. But here we are. Let me just give you a snapshot of where we're going, the theme and the topic today. As we are bracing ourselves once again for the possible third wave, I hear people say this often, things will work out. Have you heard that before? We hear this all the time, right? Something is going bad. People say, it's okay. Things will work out. But here's my question. How do you know that things will work out? How can you be sure that things will work out? And what proof, what evidence do you have that things will work out? Stick around, because I want to offer what the Bible says, what Jesus says, as to the reason for things will work out. For now, I want to have you turn your attention to the thing behind me. This is the resurrection garden. Do you notice that the tomb has been rolled away? Do you see that the tomb is empty? See, this tiny creativity reminds us something powerful, and that is Jesus is risen from the dead. He rose out of the tomb. And I want to invite you to say this call to worship for the last 2,000 years. The followers of Jesus Christ, they always said this. When someone like me stands before someone like you and says, He is risen, and you all say back to me, He is risen indeed. So can we try that? Let's try that, okay? He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now I'm going to repeat this three times, but each time I'm going to crescendo my tone. And I'm asking you to match that crescendo, the spirit in which what I'm saying needs to be reflected by you. You ready? He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Jesus says that He is the light of the world. And on this Easter Sunday, we're going to light the Christ candle, symbolizing that He is the light of the world. And as long as His light is shining, we have hope. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, what a glorious day it is today that we get to celebrate in the power of the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Come, Holy Spirit, as we open Your Holy Scripture, open our eyes. Give us the eyes to see. Holy Spirit, open our ears. Give us the ears to hear. And Holy Spirit, open our hearts. Give us the heart to conceive what Jesus has in store for us. In His name we pray. Amen. Again, the question that I want to ask you is, when you say things will work out, how will you know that things will indeed work out? And when I say things will work out, you should ask me, what proof do you have? What evidence do you have? How can you guarantee that things will indeed work out? Don't take my word for it. Let's take it to the Bible, the Holy Scripture, and find out what Jesus has to say as to the reason things will work out. We're going to read from Acts chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. Here's the background. Jesus, after He was crucified, buried, put into the tomb, and He rose on the Easter Sunday, and 50 days later, Peter and the apostles, they went to Jerusalem, the place where Christ was crucified. And Peter gave his first sermon on the first Easter. Quite unique, don't you think? And guess how many people converted? Thousands of people. And I'm really jealous of Peter. But he stood in front of everyone, the people of Jerusalem, and he gave this sermon, and we're going to pick it up from verses 22 to 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here is the big idea. The theme and the goal is this. And please, if you haven't obtained the sermon notes from the resources tab on the online, hit the pause button here. And this is one of the beauties of online worship. You get to mute the preacher. Now, I don't want to give you any temptations about that, but it is good for you to receive the sermon notes, and this will help you not only follow the message, but also obtain the content as well. So here's the theme and the goal, and write these words in the blanks. Jesus is risen, therefore you possess the power of the Holy Spirit. One more time. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is risen from the dead, therefore, and what difference does that make? You possess the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in the previous chapter, this is Acts chapter 1, he makes a promise. He guarantees something to his followers and the disciples. So let me read it to you. This is Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 3 to 5, and we're going to jump to verse 8. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." See, right there, before Jesus ascended to heaven, he made this promise. When I go, when I leave you, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive what? Power. In the Greek language, the language in which the New Testament was written, the word power is dunamite, from which we get the word, you guessed it, dynamite, because it means it has this force that's going to change you, impact you, transform you. It's not static or stationary. It is dynamite, dynamic. And that's what Jesus promised. Because Christ is risen from the dead, he is risen, therefore, you will possess what? Dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you three ways through which you possess the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, write these words. You possess the power to conquer your failures. You possess the power to conquer your failures. Please listen carefully, verse 23. This verse is so jam-packed with all kinds of biblical, theological doctrines and mysteries. Listen to this. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Hang on here. Did you catch that? There's a what's the word I'm looking for? It's hard to put our head around this, because here's the question. Who crucified Jesus? It says, you, the people of Jerusalem, you, with the help of the wicked men, you put Jesus to death by nailing him to the cross, right? But then right before that, Peter says, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. God planned this. He knew about this. So who nailed Jesus Christ on the cross? Who put him to death? Well, let me give you one interpretation. The people of Jerusalem, they are responsible. They handed Jesus over to the Romans, and in the hands of wicked men, Christ was nailed to the cross. And rightly so, Peter says, you, people of Jerusalem, you Jews, you crucified Jesus. You put him to death. Okay, now, it's a strong language, don't you think? Why doesn't Peter say, just like the Bible does in other parts of the Bible, Jesus died for your sins? Why doesn't he say that? Why doesn't he say Jesus was crucified to save you? Why doesn't he say Jesus hung on the cross for your sake? And all those statements are true and biblical and correct. And yet here, in the book of Acts, Peter says, you put Jesus to death. He's placing the people of Jerusalem responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. And yet, it was God's deliberate plan, his foreknowledge. It didn't happen simply because of the wicked people. God somehow orchestrated all this. So it's both God's preordaining act and also the wicked act of the people of Jerusalem. Now, furthermore, what the Bible is saying is this. Let me just talk to the Christians. Fellow believers, when the Bible says to the people of Jerusalem, you crucified Jesus, you by the Holy Spirit, you by the Holy Spirit, you and I, we see ourselves in their place. We recognize it was because of us, we nailed Jesus on the cross. It's as if we were there 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem with the mob yelling, crying out, crucify Jesus, crucify him. But here's what it means. God's deliberate plan, his foreknowledge, plus the responsibility of the wicked men. Simply put, even though we make failures, even though we make mistakes, even though we do evil, and yet God is so strong, he's so powerful, he is so in control, he has the sovereignty to bring something good out of that. Did you catch that? Let me put it this way. Out of the crucifixion, which was evil, Jesus brought about our salvation. That's a good phrase. The crucifixion was evil. It was the most evil act in the history of humanity. It was worse than 9/11. It was worse than the Holocaust. It was worse than any genocide, any war, any killing, any evil. Because we, you and I, collectively, our humanity, we put Jesus to death. And that was awful. And that was the biggest failure of humanity ever. And yet, out of the crucifixion, God has the power to bring something good, our salvation. And that's what it means. God is in so control. He is so sovereign, I should say. He has the power to bring something good out of our failures. Romans 8:28. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, not only in good things, but in all things, in good things, in bad things, in pretty things, in ugly things, in healthy things, in unhealthy things, in the times of order, in the times of chaos, in the times of certainty, in the times of uncertainty, God has the power to bring something good. Just the way he did. He brought something good out of the crucifixion. And what good was that? Our salvation. And that is an amazing, amazing assurance. Friends, the pandemic happened because of human errors. 9/11 happened because of human errors. And yet, Jesus is saying, God will bring something good out of all this because He is in control and He's the sovereign Lord of our lives. Let me make it more personal. Can you think of your own failures? I'm thinking of my own right now. Think of the worst failure you ever, ever, ever made. And you feel so guilty, you feel powerless. And yet, Jesus is saying, things will work out. Things will work out because God is in control. He'll bring something good out of your failures. And that's why you possess the power to conquer your failures. How will you know that things will work out? How will you know God will bring something good out of your failures? And the answer is, Jesus is risen from the dead. Second point, you possess the power to defeat death. You possess the power, the dynamite power, to defeat death. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That English word hold, in the Greek language, it's kraiteo. Sounds like karate. It means to grip or to seize, lay hold on something, to place under one's grasp, or to seize hold of, put under control. It's saying it was impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus because God raised him from the dead. Let me give an illustration. Okay? Back in 1981, when my family immigrated to the U.S. from Korea, it was a really, really cold winter. I never experienced such cold weather. And furthermore, I never saw so much snow in my entire life. Now, we were fresh off the boat, so to speak. And my dad got his first driver's license, and he purchased his first car. And this was in January, really cold. We got up in the morning, and he wanted to take us to school. But when we got to the car, the entire windshield and all the windows, they were frozen and covered with frost. Being an inexperienced driver that my dad was, and it was so cold, he only scraped off the frost and the ice from the window just about this big on the windshield and the side windows. And my mom was in the passenger seat. They came to a stop sign and they have to get into the traffic passing both lanes, right? You get the picture? And my dad asked my mom, "Honey, is it clear?" And my mom said, "Yes, clear." But my dad wasn't sure, so he hesitated, saying, "Is it clear?" And this went back and forth. And by the time he actually proceeded, there was a car that came and had a head-on collision. Now, it was all my parents' fault. So they had to appear before a court, and they were receiving a fine. But my mom said to the judge, "Your Honor, we are new to the country. We don't have a job yet. We have no money to pay. But what we have is, we have two sons. Put them to work." So the judge said, "Okay, let's have your sons shovel the snow like 10 blocks in the downtown." And it was a tough, tough work. Spent all afternoon shoveling the snow. Now, suppose my mom got the receipt from the court saying, "You paid your fine." Right? Okay. Here's what it means. If my brother and I did not shovel the snow, the court had a hold, a grip on my parents because of the debt they owed. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay. So what if the police came to our door saying, "Hey, Mrs. Go, you haven't paid your fine." And my mom whips up the receipt and she says, "Yes, we did." And he's waving the receipt at the policeman's face. That's what it means. It was impossible for death to keep hold of death on Jesus Christ, because he died on the cross and he paid the debt, as if he was saying, here's the receipt. And what's the receipt? The resurrection. When he rose from the dead, it was the receipt with which we can wave at the death, saying, we don't owe you anything anymore, because Christ paid the price. Listen, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you and I sin against God, when you and I edge God out, saying, we don't want you, we don't need you, we want to be our own God, the Bible declares the consequence, the wages of that sin is death, and the justice demands payment, punishment. Someone has to pay the debt. Someone has to pay the fine, as it were. And Christ, by dying on the cross for you and me, he paid the debt. Now, but here's the question. Where's the receipt? When death comes to you, says, you got to pay the debt. You owe me. We whip out that receipt and we wave it at the face of the death by saying, because Christ rose from the dead. He is risen. His resurrection is the receipt that our debt has been paid. You see, this death is not just physical death. It also refers to the spiritual death. Jesus defeated your and my physical death and spiritual death. The death really symbolizes that we will be separated from God for eternity. And that's what death means. But our debt was paid to do away with our death. I appreciate the language. Debt was paid, and therefore we have defeated our own death. There's a couple back in Michigan from the church that I used to minister before coming to Edmonton. I received a call from their children, adult children. This couple is in their 80s. They were living in the senior home and they contracted the COVID virus and things got really bad. So they asked me if I'd be willing to call this couple. So I did, and I called them. And I wanted to call and comfort them and give them hope and strength. But instead, you know what they told me? They said, Victor, we are ready to go. It is better for us to be with Jesus. Please don't pray for healing. Please don't pray for strength. Pray that we die. Friends, I'm telling you, that language, that kind of attitude is, they can only come from people who have defeated death. And they've done so because of Jesus. They're waving the receipt. So how do they know that things will work out? They are waving the receipt. And what's the receipt? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's move on. Third and the last point. You possess the power to live in the grace of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Write those two words. You possess the power to live in the grace of the crucifixion and the resurrection. For the longest time, during my Christian journey, this is how I felt. I believe with all my heart, as the Bible teaches, that Christ died on the crucifixion for my sins, and he wiped my slate clean. And I used to say to myself, Victor, now, don't you mess it up. Don't you mess it up. Don't you mess it up. Jesus, on by his crucifixion, he removed your sins. So now, you got to make it good. You got to prove yourself. You got to do good, obey God. And I always felt, I wasn't doing enough. I wasn't obeying God enough. I never felt this confidence and assurance that I am approved in the sight of the Lord High, the Most High, and that I was loved by what Christ has done. I never felt that, had that assurance, because I was only focusing on the what? The crucifixion. Now, here's how you possess the power of the resurrection as well. when Christ rose from the dead, in his resurrection, he gave you something. On the crucifixion, he took away your sins. In the resurrection, he gave you something. You know what that something is? He gave you his perfect credit. He gave you his holy righteousness. All that he is, that he's approved by God the Father. He has loved God the Father. He obeyed all the commandments. And he has perfectly fulfilled the law of God. He is perfect. And in the resurrection, he is giving that to you. And therefore, right now, as I live in the grace of the crucifixion and the resurrection, I am seen by God as a perfect child. Not because of my own effort, but because of what Christ has done. So I live in the grace of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Let me end by just offering two further applications. First application for the seekers. For you, seekers. That means you haven't made your commitment to Christ yet. You have not crossed the line of faith yet. And yet, you feel drawn to Jesus. And yet, you find him attractive. And yet, there's a void in your life. And you're looking for something. And the Holy Spirit is keep sending you to Jesus Christ. So here's one application. When Peter gave this sermon in the first Easter Sunday, okay, here's what people responded. This is how the people of Jerusalem responded. In Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 39. Peter speaking to them, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the all other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Here is your application for the seekers. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Repent means simply turn around. Turn around. You're heading one direction, you repent, you turn around and head the right direction. Head to the right direction. Repent. Come to Jesus. Don't go away from him. Come towards him. The Holy Spirit is leading you. And be baptized. And that means receive his resurrection. Receive his power. Power to possess the power of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. Be baptized. Let me help you with that. Click the Next Steps button on this platform, and I will assist you how you can take the next step. Another application for the believers. Here's one application. Repent and remember your baptism. Repent and remember your baptism. Once you felt this verse came to your heart, you were cut to the heart, and you repented, and you got baptized, and you began following Jesus, but along the way, you became lukewarm, didn't you? You know who you are. And yet, the Lord is gracious. He's not rebuking you. He is encouraging you. As a loving father, he is disciplining you, but he only disciplines those whom he loves. He's saying, repent and remember your baptism. Return back to your first love of Jesus Christ. Come back to him. Come back to him. You also can click the Next Steps button so that I may help you and assist you. So let me summarize what we have covered. By the help of the Holy Spirit, here's what we received. Jesus is risen. Therefore, you possess the power of the Holy Spirit. First, you possess the power to conquer your failures. Second, you possess the power to defeat your death. And third, you possess the power to live in the grace of the crucifixion and the resurrection. Friends, Remember this. I make this promise from the Bible. You should ask me, how do you know? How can you be sure that things will work out? How can you be sure that good things will come out of the pandemic? How can you be sure that good things will come out of my failures? My response, I'm waving the receipt at your face. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Holy Spirit, take what I have spoken and do your supernatural power. Plant it in the hearts of the hearers and help them to cultivate that seed of faith. For Christ is risen. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.